Good morning, Rob.
Hi, how are you? It's another nice day in Oshkosh.
It is. There was some not so nice in between.
Well, okay, a little precipitation. Everything green needs a little water.
Not the bottom of my tent, and it's got it. So, yeah, there's that. It's great to be with you again today, and our first guest in this hour is Tom Haynes, the Editor-in-Chief and the Senior Vice President of Media and Communications and Outreach at AOPA. Tom's a commercial multi-engine IFR-rated pilot. He owns a Bonanza, which we're going to be talking about because there's a change happening there. He's got multiple jet type ratings, and he is second-in-command type rated in the B-25.
But who cares about a little B-25 second-in-command rating?
Oh, yeah. No jealousy here. Not
okay.
At all.
All right.
Tom oversees all the organization's media channels and events and communications and is a neighbor of ours, sort of, here on the grounds. I'm looking out the window, and I see your pavilion right there with the big blue and white.
Yeah, absolutely. We've rearranged the campus a little bit, but we still have all the blue and white gables, so we're pretty easy to find right by the Brown Arch.
Super.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to join us. This is, of course, 2021. We all were a little absent in last year, and so we've all had a bit of a hiatus, 2 years, but... I cover other parts of the industry, but tell me your thoughts on how general aviation has fared over this since last AirVenture.
Right. Yeah. Or actually before that, when things really came unglued in about March in this country, March of 2020, it's been really incredible. You know, like everything else, general aviation fell off a cliff in April. Of 20. And however, by about June, July, the recovery was well underway for general aviation. And that's certainly not true in so many other industries. But by late summer last year, and we track GA activity at the top 77 airports. And by late summer, we were running routinely 20% and 30% above 2019 numbers for general aviation activity. And many weekends, it was 40% and 50% above 2019 numbers. And we've continued at that pace into 2021. We're still running ahead of 2019 numbers by those kind of volumes. So people are using their airplanes. They're out flying, and they're taking advantage of the things that you can do with a general aviation airplane.
So you think it was just that general feeling of coop up that people just said, I'm getting out of here, and I want to go fly.
Right.
Get away from it all.
Yeah, I mean, remember back early on, it was like, you know, oh, we have to isolate at home. You can't go anywhere. You know, don't even ride in the car practically with your own family members. And people looked around at their airplane, and you talk about isolation, in your cockpit at 5,000 feet. Can't get any more alone than that. So people discovered that and found that they could fly safely. It presented some challenges, though, from a timeliness standpoint, because the clock continued to run on annual inspections and flight reviews and medical exams and all that sort of thing. So we were very involved in working with the FAA to get extensions for a lot of those timelines so people could continue to fly. They ultimately came up with a special federal aviation regulation to accommodate that. It was in place through earlier this year. Most of those have expired now because people can get out to their flight instructor or their medical examiner and get all that stuff taken care of.
Well, and of course, we've certainly seen an influx here. I know on Sunday,
yep,
Jack Pelton said that they've did double what they did in 2019 for aircraft on the ground early in the show. But so it's a good sign, I guess, correct?
Yeah, and there's so many other indicators that general aviation is doing well. The used aircraft market is on fire. You can't buy a good quality GA used airplane, legacy airplane right now. Actually, can't buy new ones either. The new airplanes are sold out, many of them taking orders into 23, actually. And so it's just incredible. I recently sold an airplane and got way more for it than I thought I would when I first started thinking about it only a few months earlier. And you talk to people are frustrated. Our finance company, we have lots and lots of people pre-qualified for loans out hunting for airplanes, and they just can't find them. So it's frustrating unless you're a seller, and then it's a great place to be.
Does that change how AOPA does what it does or what it sets as priorities as part of its mission?
Well, certainly it causes us to, you know, step back and try to understand the issues that pilots are facing. Yeah. You know, insurance is an issue that people are dealing with. It isn't directly related to pandemic or even the activity levels, but it's a problem right now because of a business cycle in the insurance industry. We're hoping that's going to turn around in the next 18 months or so, but it's pretty frustrating for people seeing their insurance premiums going up significantly, and particularly older members struggling to get insurance at all in some cases. And so we've been working with the underwriters to try to understand what their issue is. We have no data that suggests that older pilots have accidents at a higher rate. But if they do, they're not willing to share it with us, even though we're continuing to encourage that so that we can understand what the risk factors really are, and then we can develop materials and content to help train pilots away from those kinds of things.
Well, of course, we've also seen that the number of companies insuring aviation has declined significantly, I believe. Is that not true?
That's true. We went from about 20 underwriters maybe 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, down to about 14. However, one came back in late last year, and there's indication that at least one more is going to come back in soon. So I think that business cycle is starting to shift. The insurance company claims they didn't make any money over the last decade prior to this recent increases because there was so much competition. And so they were driving premiums down. And so we all benefited from that as aircraft owners. So we kind of have to remember that while this is a little painful right now, our premiums are really not much higher than they were in about 2010. So, but it's still difficult. And so it's believed that underwriters are maybe starting to make a little money now because the premiums have come up so much. When that's, of course, going to cause some companies that maybe before didn't look at the aviation market to come back in or to come into the marketplace, which, of course, then that'll start that cycle over again, to help drive premiums down. And hopefully in the next couple of years, we'll see a little more stability at least.
Everything is cyclical in this business, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So,
AOPA is running a number of education programs events this week. Your Rusty Pilot seminars have been big for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if you have a sense of whether there are more Rusty pilots or pilots are rustier because of anything pandemic related. You've already said that there's plenty of flying going on, more perhaps than beforehand. But I got to wonder, is it fewer pilots doing more flying with leaving a lot of rusty ones sort of candidates for your programs?
Yeah, well, certainly our Rusty Pilot program has continued to do very well. Of course, because of COVID, we had to switch from the in-person seminars to online. We'd had the online course available anyhow, but of course that had been now is the only option until we start doing live seminars again. It's a three-hour course, tells you about everything that pretty much you need to know to get back into aviation if you've been out for a while, and then just go get a flight review, and you're good to go. And we've had over 9,600 pilots take that second step. We've had tens of thousands of people go through the Rusty Pilot course, but we have about 9,600 who have then also went and gotten a flight review and are back flying again today. And I've had numerous of them come to me at events and say, well, not only did I take the Rusty Pilot course, get back into flying, I've now bought an airplane. And so that's really rewarding to see people, you know, really all in aviation. But, you know, we don't really have any indication that from a safety standpoint, the numbers, you know, the movement is so small. We're on a general decline in accidents, so that's good. But we don't have any real indication that pilots are rustier. And the activity level suggests that certainly there's a lot of pilots out there flying. Whether or not it's a few of them flying a lot more, there's probably some of that. But we also know, given the interest in the Rusty Pilot program as it continues, that people are getting back into aviation at a pretty good clip.
Well, I think, too, that as I mentioned earlier about the industry being cyclical, there's still there is yet a pilot shortage for the airlines and for business aviation. Tell me a little bit about, or tell me, I'm sorry. That's really rude.
No, it's your question.
Tell us about the programs that AOPA has to try to get people through to aviation careers. Of course, I'm talking just piloting, but I mean, there may be others as well.
Right. Yeah. So we started the The You Can Fly program probably about 5 or 6 years ago now, and it's got sort of four pillars, but the one that most applies to your question is our high school aviation STEM curriculum, which now is completed, built out grades 9 through 12. We have free curriculum that's in use in about 30, well, actually, I think I just got an update. 43 states are going to be using it this fall, and about 9,500 kids in 400 classrooms around the country will be using this curriculum. And it's really got two tracks, one for piloting and one for drones. So when a student comes out of that program, they will have completed, if they're on the pilot track, they'll have completed their written test for their private pilot. And if they're on the drone track, they'll have completed their 107 certificate. So they'll be employable as commercial drone pilots right out the door. But really, the ninth grade curriculum is the one that I find really interesting because it's really all about exploring aviation opportunities as these kids are, you know, starting to think about what I might do when I go get out of high school. So it explores all kinds of aviation activities. You know, it's not just piloting; it's maintenance, it's being a flight attendant, working as a dispatcher, working in an FBO, corporate pilot. Airline pilot, all that sort of thing. So it's really broad-based and very successful.
Well, that's really great, too. And I'm so pleased to hear that organizations have finally stepped up for years. Of course, as you said, the high school program's been doing well. And I'd love to hear how they choose the instructors to teach those classes. But I think we're going to probably have to let that wait until our next edition of AOPA on the radio.
Real quick before you go, I said we would ask you about your airplane. You're changing airplanes now, but staying in the Bonanza family.
Yeah, I just sold the one I'd had, A36, that I've had since 1999. And it's a 72 model, but had a great chance to sell it for, like I said, some good money. So I'm in the midst of buying into a 1998 A36 with two other AOPA employees. And so it's a first time ownership experience for them. And so I think it's going to be fun to kind of work with them and kind of introduce them to what it's like to own an airplane.
Tom Haynes, the Editor-in-Chief and Senior VP of Media, Communications, and Outreach at the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
You're listening to EAA Radio.